Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 2 of our study of Matthew. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Matthew 20, 1 through 16. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I'm excited to jump back into the book of Matthew with you today. Before we do that, would you pray with me before we start? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Come and touch us, speak to us, fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Matthew 20, starting in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them to his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went again out about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long and doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and do work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." One thing I want to point out here that I find interesting is this means of finding labor has existed for thousands of years. Still to this day, or at least a few years ago when I was still in this business a little bit, there was always like people in a given area. If you're doing construction or whatever you're doing, whatever you needed, you know, maybe day laborers for, you could all, everyone knew where to go find the people that are sitting around waiting to get hired. You know, some cities it's at the Home Depot, some cities it's, you know, at a specific location where they all hang out and wait to get picked up. But every city in America and probably in the world throughout all history has had something like this. I just find that very interesting that this is absolutely nothing new. This is how people have done things for thousands of years. Okay, going back to verse 9. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." Does this sound familiar? Does this sound at all familiar that there is this inequality of input, but an equality of outcome? People get really upset when there are these kinds of inequalities. And this is an inequality for sure, but what we're going to find out, this is, it's unequal, but it's not unjust. And we need to understand that. People get very upset when there's an inequality of opportunity, but an equality of outcome. Some people get very upset about that. And some people get very upset when there's an equality of opportunity, but an inequality of outcome. People get very, actually, that in our culture right now, people are far more upset about that than anything else, as they want the equality of outcome regardless of how much someone's worked. And right now we live in a culture where there is a huge battle over those two things. We live in a world where we seem to be bifurcated into two, and it's not just political leanings. It's actually cultural and political, but also religious leanings. And one reason that our politics, one reason that we have become so divided, is because religion has actually played so big a role in what's been going on. And there's a lot of people that are a-religious, a lot of atheists that are on one side of the fence or the other. And so you would say, well, you know, they're not religious, but Marxism is a huge part of the conversation today. Cultural Marxism persists in our culture, and Marxism at its core is a religion. It has an orthodoxy, and you cannot fall outside of lockstep with that orthodoxy. It is a religion in every almost every metric that you could measure a religion by, Marxism and cultural Marxism, which we've seen take hold in the United States and the West in a great way in the past 3 to 5, 10 years, however you want to measure it. It is a religion in almost every sense of the term. And so we've got people who have bifurcated into almost two camps. And one camp is, you know, equality of outcome is not just if there's not, you know, if there wasn't equality in opportunity or equality in work, actually, what these guys are saying. And then you've got another side that says it's not just if there's an inequality or an equality of opportunity, but an inequality of outcome. You know, it's not fair that there's rich people and there's poor people and all that kind of stuff. We need everything equal. And there's these two sides, and they both, you know, feel very strongly about their position. In fact, most all of them will use even the Bible to justify what they believe and why they believe it. And here we see the Lord is actually going to turn both of those arguments on their head. Verse 13, but he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first and the first will be last. So there are a ton of people today, like I was saying, who believe that economics only works if there's an equality of opportunity, but an inequality of outcome is okay. And then if you don't work, you should not have an equality of outcome. And there's people that think that an inequality of outcome is evidence that the system is broken and wrong and unfair and unjust, you know, because, you know, everyone should get the same, even if they don't work. And neither one of those is what's going on here. Jesus is saying, I run my economy the way I want to run my economy. And he's saying, listen, he's talking to the first people who he said, you know, I'll give you a denarius to come and work all day in my vineyard. And so they're like, okay, cool. So there's this, you know, free exchange here. Like they willingly accept that. And then he goes out throughout the day over and over and he keeps making the same deal. And the deal that he's making is I'll give you a denarius if you come and work the rest of the day. He didn't want, you know, a full 8 hours out of all of them. So the first group, they willingly agreed by themselves to work for a denarius for 8 hours. One's at noon for 4 hours or whatever quitting time is. And then, the ones at 3 and the ones at 5. So it seems like they shut the operation down at 6. And so they're working for less and less time for the same amount of money. And at no point in any of this has the master been unjust. He has made a deal and they've agreed to the deal and then they go and work. And then he honors the deal that he made with each individual person. So there's nothing unjust about this. So when someone willingly goes into something and creates an equality of outcome, regardless of work input, there's nothing unjust about that if everyone willingly agreed to it. And if someone goes in and says, hey, you know, I'm going to give you a denarius, you guys that started at 8, and I'm going to give you guys that started at noon a half a denarius or whatever, there's nothing unjust about that if everyone agrees to it. That's what's going on here. The Lord is making a point, and this is, of course, this is a fictional story that he's telling here. This is a parable, but he's explaining this point here that basically my economy doesn't work the way you think or the way you want it to. The Lord he requires a lot, but he's also very gracious. He has a high standard, a high bar of what he expects. But he's very, very, very gracious. And so he's saying, you know, the last will be first and the first will be last. Those that think with him, they get ahead by working the hardest. It's like, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. I like to flip things around. He loves to do things in this upside down way. And it's not upside down to the Lord. It's upside down to us. I mean, how often in the Old Testament do we see the stories of the Lord, the culture said that the oldest son gets the birthright. The oldest son gets all of the good things and the rest of the children, I mean, the women get nothing and you know, they got to get married off to wealthy people. And then the other sons, they get much less. And the Lord routinely turned that on its head and said, you know, I'm going to honor the younger son and I'm going to bless them. I'm going to send them out. I'm going to give them all the blessings of what's coming. He routinely did that. The Lord did. And so he loves to turn those things on their heads. And I don't think it's just because the Lord likes to, you know, make a mess of things. I mean, I don't think he really cares if he makes a mess of our cultural expectations. And right now we have two almost warring factions in the West and in our American culture. And the Lord would come to us and say, listen, and people are using the Bible, they're using Jesus, they're using God to justify both sides. No, you know, the Lord would have an equality of outcome and no, the Lord would not, you know, pay people to sit around and do nothing most of the time. And you can find biblical justification for both of those. There really are. There's Proverbs and there's teachings all throughout the Bible where you could cherry pick and find both of those. And the Lord would come to us and say, listen, I'm on neither of your side. I'm not on the side of, you know, the free range capitalist, and I'm not on the side of the Marxist in your culture. I'm on neither one of your side. You need to learn to be on my side and learn to do things the way that I want them done. And I think the Lord comes and I think he does kind of like poke into the way that we see things and the way that we do things because he wants to turn that on its head. He wants to make things, do things in such a way where we are forced to take a step back and think, is what we are doing, is this culturally driven? Is this driven by some other narrative that the Lord is not the one prescribing, or are we actually doing what the Lord wants us to do in this case? And that's a very difficult thing a lot of times for us to engage with just because we are such a product of our culture. We are such a product of the inputs we put into our life. And so very often, instead of asking the Lord and going to him, how do you want things done? Most often, we go to the Lord and say, this is how I read the Bible, God, and this is how the people that I'm around have read the Bible and what they've taught me. And so this is how I think you should do things, God. And I'm going to go and tell everybody that. That's normally how we operate. And very often, not always, but very often when we go out and we tell people that and we say, this is, you know, the Lord is on our side because of this, we're not telling the truth. We may be good-hearted in that, but we're actually not telling the truth because the Lord is on neither side. In Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address, he addressed something very similar. There were people in the North and people on the South in the United States in the Civil War. And both of them claimed, the North claimed and the South claimed, that the Lord was on our side. The Lord is fighting for us. And Abraham Lincoln, in his second inaugural address, got up and said, you know, he acknowledged it. There's people in the North that say that the Lord's fighting for us. There's people in the South that say the Lord's fighting for us. But I say the Lord is fighting for neither of us. I say, and this is me paraphrasing, and I would encourage you to go look up his second inaugural address. It's a very good insight into when there are these kind of intractable differences. Abraham Lincoln said, the Lord is not fighting for either one of us. He's fighting against all of us. So this is a judgment of the Lord because we sinned against him and we are bearing the consequences of it. He said that this war will not end until every drop of blood is paid for. He said, no, the Lord's not fighting for the North. He's not fighting for the South. He's fighting against all of us. And that, interestingly enough, was really the only biblical way to look at this. He had the Lord's understanding in that moment. So very often the Lord turns our cultural understandings, our you know, bifurcated camp understandings into, he turns them on their heads so that we can understand the reality of how he runs his kingdom. And it's very different from the way we would run ours, because in his, he makes the first last and the last first. And nobody, no matter what perspective you come from, humanly ever does that. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.